Welcome on into Locked On Cougars. I'm Jay Catch, your host here on this daily podcast that is focused on all things BYU football, basketball, and everywhere in between with the BYU Athletic Department. Layout of today's show will go as follows. We're going to be joined by a special guest in studio. We're going to talk about Tom Homo's semi-annual media summit, get some of his thoughts because he was in attendance. Also, we'll talk about BYU facing off against number 4 Gonzaga tonight at the Marriott Center. Might be the best Gonzaga team to ever come to Provo. We'll debate that. Of course, my guest is going to be Sean Walker, so we'll talk about that here in the first and second segments, and we'll wrap things up in the third segment with all the other news when it comes to the other BYU sports teams with quick hits. So there you go. Layout of today's show, and a reminder for you guys, if you do listen to this podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Essentially, anywhere a good podcast can be found, you can find Locked On Cougars. So please subscribe, rate, and review. It's great to have your guys' support, and I thank you guys for joining us each and every day. And with that, without further ado, let's get going. This is Locked On Cougars for January 31st, 2019. All right, I am joined now by Sean Walker, my good friend. He's been on the podcast before. He works for KSL.com. I think your technical title is what? Sports savant. Sports savant. They've upgraded your title now.
I wish that were the case, but I can't really call myself a beat writer, although I do tend to focus on BYU. So it's exciting to be here talking to the great host of the number one daily BYU podcast on iTunes, Locked On Cougars.
Thank you, Sean.
Thanks for having me, Jake.
No, Sean, he really does. He should be considered a beat writer because he does cover a lot of BYU for KSL.com as well as a myriad of other sports in between all that.
Shout out to the Salt Lake Stallions.
The Stallions.
Go download Wild Stallions iTunes.
We'll give it a plug. Sean and I do host a podcast for the Wild Stallions. There are 5 former BYU players on that roster. We actually played that interview with Tanner Baldery that we played on this podcast earlier this week on that podcast as well. So a lot of cross promotion that way. But Sean, I wanted to bring you in here and talk a little bit about Tom Homo's media summit yesterday. Of course, one representative from each media outlet allowed to attend, record the proceedings, write about it, etc. First things first, what were your overall impressions of the media summit? Because I came away from it thinking, okay, this was just more of a standard talk with Tom. There wasn't anything, I guess, super noteworthy or revelatory in my mind.
Yeah, there wasn't anything earth-shattering or groundbreaking to come out of this now annual event. It used to be a semi-annual event. Yep. Now it's annual. And I think that's okay because there wasn't necessarily a need for anything too earth-shattering. I came in and the main thing I was looking at was you know, where are BYU and ESPN in terms of their current deal? Because their television contract does expire at the end of the season.
It does, yep.
Tom didn't really have a whole lot of explanation on that. He just said we're currently in negotiations, which the fact that last year he spoke quite at length. About yes. that. The fact that he didn't really want to speak at length about that tells me that things are probably getting, and this is maybe a little bit of supposition, so I apologize for spreading conjecture on your podcast, but that kind of tells me
do all the time, come on.
but that probably tells me that this thing is probably pretty close to happening. ESPN and BYU are in pretty good and pretty amicable discussions and relationships to put this thing together to continue coverage of BYU football and some other sports, but mostly football, on the worldwide leader. Because if there wasn't, you know, you'd probably hear a lot more, well, there are other options, this and that kind of a thing. Tom seems pretty locked in on ESPN. Everything I've heard from ESPN is that ESPN is pretty locked in on BYU as well.
Yeah.
Simply because it's a very favorable contract. From ESPN's point of view, they have contracts with virtually every conference under the sun in some first tier, second tier, or third tier rights.
Yep.
The contract, we don't know numbers specifically because BYU is a private school, but everything I've heard is that the contract is very favorable, especially when you compare it to, for example, what ESPN might be paying the Pac-12 or the Big 12 or even the Mountain West, just because there's only one school in there and they can move that one school around to sort of suit their needs and fit their needs, play them late at night, play them early in the afternoon, play them here and there. And then there are also several behind the scenes things, production quality standards. Yeah. You know, BYU has this TV studio on campus that ESPN can use anytime, that sort of thing. So that was kind of the main thing that I was looking at going in there. And there wasn't a lot of overt news to come out of that, but I think the lack of news is a very good sign with regards to BYU and ESPN.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you. I think the fact that they're in negotiations is a good sign. I know that there are a lot of detractors from BYU saying that there was no way ESPN was going to re-up with BYU considering their financial situation. But like you said, Sean, BYU's flexibility in helping ESPN out for many, many years in multiple different formats, even when they were in the conferences that they were in, ESPN is very much in favor of scratching BYU's back, because BYU has very much scratched theirs in many forms and fashions over the years.
Well, and one last note is BYU has been with ESPN for the last several years,
yeah.
Like that, and they've kind of been with them. ESPN sort of been on this train,
yep,
while BYU is trying to put together this, yeah, independent schedule in football, mm-hmm, and not always getting the best schedules, yep, coming up. They've now, and I don't know if this was intentional or not, I'll let internet conspiracy theorists go out on that, but the next 2 to 3 years is sort of what Tom Homo in a lot of ways has been building towards,
yes,
with this schedule, starting with the 2019 schedule, which includes games against Utah, Tennessee, USC, and Washington right off the bat.
And three of the four at home.
Yeah, three of those four are at home. They're the only, let me see if I get the phrasing right, the only FBS team to open the season with four straight Power 5 opponents.
You got it. Yep, that was in the release. We talked about this on the podcast yesterday. It's a stout start to the schedule, but
it's also something that ESPN's going to want.
Exactly. And that was, and I look at it and I think it's advantageous for both parties, and I think that'll work out. Sean, I also wanted to talk to you here for a moment about the whole deal with Kalani Sitake's contract extension. I myself had people tell me that Kalani was entering the final year of his deal. Jay Drew kind of broke it that he actually had two more years on the deal. Dick Harmon clarifying a little more on the Zone Sports Network earlier this year that apparently Kalani's deal, his initial deal with BYU, is if he won 9 games in a season, he got an automatic 1-year rollover. So that probably might have helped explain why there's that extra season sitting there in 2020 already on Kalani Sitake's contract.
And it's also very common for,
yeah,
there to be options built,
exactly,
into these coaching contracts. And as long as you meet a certain number of incentives like wins, but also graduation rates,
yep,
APR levels, that kind of thing, there are sort of automatic options that are re-upped. It's pretty standard across college football.
Yeah, so I just looked at it and I felt like Tom was very diplomatic about it. He says, I try and talk with Kalani every day. We don't necessarily talk contract all that often. But I did like him saying, hey, we rarely go into the final year of a contract without a plan or a deal in place. And I think that should be music to BYU fans' ears. The way he talked about Kalani yesterday really led me to think that they're going to work towards extending his deal. I think that Tom is a believer in Kalani. And I think that going forward, it looks like Kalani Sitake should have that job security that a lot of people have fretted he might not have, affecting recruiting or whatever else.
Yeah, my favorite line from that whole exchange was Tom saying, I don't know why this is an issue. This isn't an issue.
Yeah.
You know, you might expect that from the athletic director, but from what I gather from Kalani as well, being around him, he's been asked about this a couple of times, and every time he says, it's not really a big deal. You know, there are,
yeah,
those 2 years left on the contract, and Kalani Sitake is so busy with the day-to-day results of coaching, and he's got to hire a new offensive line coach right now to replace Ryan Pugh, as well as recruiting, you know, signing days coming up next week, et cetera, et cetera. He's got so much on his plate that he's not really thinking about,
mm-hmm,
okay, what does my coaching contract look like in 3 or 4 years? And so there's, you know, if Kalani's not worried about it and Tom's not worried about it, but they're still talking to each other regularly so that if it ever becomes a worry,
yeah,
something will get resolved eventually in that regard. There's not really a need for fans to worry about something if both the coach and the athletic director aren't worried about it.
Exactly. I think that's the biggest thing you take away from it. All right, Sean, we'll step aside here. We'll come back on the other side. We'll shift gears, talk about BYU basketball. Big time showdown tonight in Provo as they face No. 4 Gonzaga. I think this might be the best Gonzaga team that Mark Few has ever had. And we're talking about a team who's been ranked No. 1 before. They've had No. 1 seeds in the NCAA tournament. So we'll get to all that next right here on Locked On Cougars.
Ruiz!
Welcome back to Locked On Cougars. I'm Jay Catch, your host here, joined by Sean Walker. And Sean, a reminder for our listeners, this is something we talk about all the time. Do you have a smart speaker at home?
I am a proud owner of an Amazon Alexa, yes.
Okay, so smart speakers make our lives easier, plain and simple.
Indeed.
Well, make it easy to listen to this podcast as well. All you got to do is say, hey, play podcast Locked On Cougars. I told the story yesterday about my mom. She has one of the iHomes. I think it was the Apple one that they have. I don't remember what they call it, but she didn't know that she could do that. She did it. She's like, this is super simple. So,
I do have a funny story about that.
Okay.
So I have used my Alexa speaker to listen to this podcast, the Locked On Cougars podcast, a couple times, not every time, but yes, a couple times when it's convenient, when I'm at home, when I'm, you know, around the house doing chores, whatever. And so Alexa does have that kind of programmed in there. And one time I accidentally said a word that was kind of common to Alexa.
Okay.
And I was watching a BYU game at home. And so it mistook the BYU game on the TV as saying Locked On Cougars. So it started playing in the latest episode of your podcast when I said Alexa.
Well, there you go. So I appreciate you listening, Sean.
So we're very grateful to smart speakers in general.
It does make it easy. You just got to tell it, hey, play podcast Locked On Cougars and you'll have it. All right, Sean, let's talk some BYU basketball now. Big time showdown tonight in Provo at the Marriott Center. Number 4, Gonzaga in town. Mark Few, one of the elite basketball coaches in this country. He's just a machine. He puts together these teams each year that are just stellar. And I think this might be his best team, just a sheer top to bottom talent. That's just my opinion.
It's entirely possible that this is his best team until his next team, because I just feel like every year he just one-ups himself year after year. We talk about teams, especially in the West Coast Conference, that occasionally have a down year. Mm-hmm. BYU has certainly been prone to down years. St. Yes. Mary's right now has a down year for as good as they've been for so long. Mm-hmm. They're certainly down. It just seems like Gonzaga never has a down year. I mean, they're just year after year reloading, whether it's returning guys or recruiting or whatever, it doesn't matter. They're right up there with the Dukes and North Carolinas and Kansases of the world, and that they never really drop.
Yeah, no, and they have beaten Duke this season. They beat them before Christmas in the non-conference schedule. Only 2 losses on the year, but they have played
one of them to the current number 1 team in the country.
Exactly, yeah, Tennessee. So they lost to also number 9 North Carolina. So they have played some top-flight competition, have come out on top for the most part with it. They're absolutely crushing everybody so far in West Coast Conference play.
Sorry, Santa Clara.
That was bad. Well, we're really sorry. When you tempt them by putting stuff in the newspaper like saying game on, Mark Few's going to be like, okay, really? Yeah, this is over. We ain't dealing with this crap no more. So, yeah, BYU, they've got their work cut out for them tonight. I don't expect a win here, but BYU, Sean, for whatever reason, has had some interesting matchups with Gonzaga and come out with some strange wins in their short tenure in the West Coast Conference, all things considered.
Yeah, ironically enough, Gonzaga leads this all-time series, but they do not lead it in the Kennel in Spokane.
Nope.
So BYU seems to have their number in Spokane. Obviously, everybody remembers a couple years ago when they knocked off the number 1 team of the nation there, and then they did it the next season as well when they were a top 5 team before having that streak snapped just last year. Gonzaga's been much better on the road against BYU as well, though. I mean, they seem to, I don't know what it is, but they seem to travel themselves to maybe you can call the Marriott Center Spokane South for them in a lot of ways. I'm sure BYU fans will love me trying to say that, but no, it's not necessarily for fans or whatnot. I expect a few Gonzaga fans of the game tonight, but probably not a ton. I do expect a sellout. I expect a great atmosphere. I mean, the Marriott Center is right up there, probably top 10 or 15 arenas in all of college basketball, and this is a game that fans in Provo certainly get up for. I think that feeds Gonzaga players a lot of times, because especially when they get into conference play, they don't necessarily get the chance to play in these big venues that are loud and crushing and ear-splitting and deafening, for sure. So there is some of that that plays into Gonzaga, but then it obviously plays into the home team as well. So I expect a very good game, a great game, two teams that are really battling. And yeah, Gonzaga right now is the number 4 team in the country, but BYU's playing as well well, if not better than they've played the entire season. I mean, yep. They struggled a little bit early on, some just head-scratching losses, couple of losing streaks. You know, that loss at Weber State kind of stands out, obviously, in a lot of ways. But they've kind of steadied the ship in so many ways. They don't really have a bad loss in conference play. Even their two losses at St. Mary's and at San Francisco, I don't think can be considered bad yet at this point. They're right up there tied for second in the league. And really, I think this game will go a long ways towards determining whether or not Gonzaga has a true challenger in the WCC or whether it's Gonzaga and then second place everybody else.
No, it's the truth. And that'll be interesting to see what shakes out tonight. 9 o'clock Mountain Time. It's going to be televised on ESPN2. I'm with you, Sean. I know it's going to be a late game, but I'm expecting a full house at the Marriott Center, 20,000 people or whatever the new configuration is. Is it below 20 now?
It's just over 19,000.
Just over 19. Okay, so it is below 20,000 now, but it's going to be a loud, raucous environment. The tough part is,
and
though,
Sean. Most importantly, can I break some news on your podcast?
Please go ahead.
Your officials for tonight
are
Michael Irving, Larry Spalding, and Deldre Carr. It's so, not the guy who ref the Saints
but
game.
No, Bill Vinovich this time. Bill but there's Vinovich. Some there's some familiar names there with that officiating crew.
Larry Spalding's done a lot of games in Provo. Michael Irving's obviously very familiar with the West Coast Conference.
Exactly. Yeah. So there'll be some referees that are official that are very familiar with these two teams. Sean, real quick before we wrap things up here, star players for Gonzaga: Rui, who you mentioned before the break here, Rui Hachimura, the native of Japan. He averages a team high 19.9. points, averaging 6.2 rebounds, and then they have an elite interior defender, just a shot blocker extraordinaire, Brandon Clark. How in the world he ended up at San Jose State, not at a bigger program before getting into Gonzaga, I won't understand. Maybe he's just a late bloomer, but he is crazy good as well, averaging 16, just over 16 points and almost 8 rebounds a game.
Yeah, it's really, really hard to stray from those bigs in Brandon and then Rui, 6'8", 230 pounds, a pure Japanese awesomeness. I mean, he's really, really good, but I think this team really goes through, and Dave Rose mentioned this yesterday while he was talking to the media, this team really goes through Josh Perkins. As Josh Perkins plays, this team plays. He's a senior guard, so he was on that team a couple years ago that made that Final Four and national title run. He's got that experience. He's averaging double figures, 11 points per game, but also 6.6 assists. So really, everything goes through him. He touches the ball on every possession. I think BYU is going to probably look to disrupt him maybe as much or more than any of the other guys, because Rui can do what Rui does, if you will. But if you can stop the point of attack up there, and I think this is somewhere that maybe a guy like McKay Cannon or Jashir Hardnett, who will be available tonight, can jump out on the perimeter and disrupt, that could be somewhere where Gonzaga is maybe a little bit more vulnerable and BYU you can try to take advantage.
This is going to be a game, I think, Sean, before we go to break here, that BYU is going to have to win with defense. They're going to have to lock down Gonzaga as much as possible, because they did that against St. Mary's a week ago. I think it showed them, hey, if we play elite defense, or okay, I'm going to call it elite, but good defense, we have a chance to win these games. Gonzaga is really good. There's no doubt about it. But BYU's best bet is to keep Gonzaga down for as long as possible.
Yeah, and I mentioned, I think BYU's got the type of players to play very good, if not elite, defense on guys like Perkins. Certainly McKay Cannon comes to mind. Jashir Hardnett comes to mind. Maybe even Nick Emery. Nick Emery's a very good perimeter defender as well. I'm very interested to see who mans up defense and truly locks down Rui Hachimura. And locking down Rui might be, you know, 12 or 14 points.
Yes.
Certainly, because he's that good. But is it going to be Yoeli Childs? I mean, is there maybe another player? Maybe do you bring in Luke Worthington and try to move him a little bit further up the post? I don't know entirely. But if BYU can get a defensive effort in the post similar to what they're allowed to get, what they've been getting on the perimeter lately, the type of defense Cannon played against Jordan Ford last week against St. Mary's comes to mind for sure.
Yep.
I think they have a chance. I agree.
No, and that'll be the interesting part about it. So, Sean, can't thank you enough for taking the time. We'll do it again soon, hopefully, all right?
Jake, be excellent to each other.
All right. Sean Walker, thanks. Thank him for joining me. Come back, wrap up the show with quick hits next. This is Locked On Cougars. are Locked On Cougars. This is your daily podcast focused on the BYU Cougars. Thanks again to Sean Walker for taking the time to join me for the first two segments of the show. As we wrap things up today, in quick hits, running down some of the other teams in action this evening, if you're looking to catch the Cougars anywhere around the state or even around the country, we'll start off with men's tennis. They have a rivalry match with number 50-ranked Utah State. That'll be in Logan this afternoon, this evening at 5 o'clock Mountain Time at the Utah State Tennis Courts. You can get a live stream by going to BYUCougars.com. You can watch it there. The women's basketball team also in action this evening. They are in Los Angeles, California at Gersten Pavilion to take on Loyola Marymount, looking to stay undefeated in West Coast Conference play. The number 25 Cougars will be playing at 6 o'clock Mountain Time. Game will be streamed live on the W.TV. You can get a link to catch that on BYUCougars.com as well. We already talked about BYU men's basketball in action tonight against Gonzaga, and it's going to be an absolute mammoth effort if the men are going to come out with a win here tonight. But 9 o'clock Mountain Time, if you want to catch them at the Marriott Center, you can get tickets at BYUtickets.com. Game will be televised on ESPN2. Also going to be broadcast on the BYU Sports Network on the radio, KSL 1160 AM, 102.7 FM, 89.1 FM, Sirius XM 143, all your various radio channels if you're looking to catch the men's team in action tonight. And big opportunity tonight. Men's tennis, of course, ranked currently, I believe they're in the 60s. So they can get a win over Utah State would bode very well for them. And of course, like I mentioned, the number 25 ranked BYU women's basketball team looking to keep their West Coast Conference streak alive. So it's an exciting time if you're a BYU fan of the other teams going on around the football and basketball programs. There's plenty of great programs in the BYU athletic department, so it's an exciting time to be out supporting the Cougars. All right, there you go. That is the show for today. Once again, thanks to Sean Walker for joining me. Love having him on the show, getting his insights. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that as well. Let him know what you think by following him on Twitter at @actuallyDSW. D as in David, S as in Sam, W as in William. I'm sure he'd love to have a follow and a shout out if you guys don't mind doing that. You also can follow this show, the Locked On Cougars podcast, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by looking up Locked On Cougars there. My personal Twitter feed is at Jacob C. Hatch. Thanks in advance for all your support and your continued support of the podcast. It is a pleasure to bring it to you guys each and every day. We'll be back tomorrow recapping what happens against Gonzaga tonight. Also looking ahead to the Super Bowl, Kyle Van Noy playing for the New England Patriots, representing BYU in the biggest football game of the year this weekend. So we'll talk about that a little bit as well. Once again, a reminder for you guys, if you do have those smart speakers, an Alexa or a Google Home or one of the iTunes, the Apple one, it's the Apple Home. I don't even know what they call it. You can obviously tell that I own one, but you can check it out. All you have to do to play this podcast is simply tell it, play podcast Locked On Cougars, and you'll have the latest and greatest in BYU news right there for you. Thanks again for joining me on today's show. We'll be back tomorrow, kicking off a new month. It is January 31st. Tomorrow begins February. Fun time to be a Cougar fan, as it always is, and we'll be back tomorrow on the podcast. This has been Locked On Cougars for January 31st, 2019. Have a great day.